to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. Lord, the power belongs to you. The power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. Lord, the power belongs to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. You are the mighty Lord. You are the mighty King. You are the mighty God. You are the sovereign one. Hallelujah. Oh, the power belongs. The power belongs to you. The power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. All the power belongs to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. Oh, only you, only you, only you. Power belongs to you, only you, only you, only you. All power belongs to you, sinking only you. Yes, Lord, only you, only you. It all belongs to you.
All power belongs. Thank you, Jesus. Only you, only you, only you. It all belongs to you. Only you, only you, only you. All power belongs to you. Only you, only you, only you. It all belongs to you. Lord, we surrender all. All power belongs to you. And we are accommodated under the grace of that awesome power. As a power that defends us, that protects us, that fights for us. The power that restores our strength, our hope. The power that causes us not to be afraid or to be weary in mind. The power that restores our souls. It all belongs to you. That power that saves, heals, delivers, sets free, makes whole, establishes and promotes. We thank you, Lord. And not only does the power belong to you, you are utilizing it on our behalf. So we rest to God in the grace of your love and kindness and your tender mercies. Your faithfulness, God who has loved us with an everlasting love. We call unto you now, and we know you hear us, for we pray according to your will and your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to have you here tonight. Thank you so very much. It's beautiful. Tonight, we are going to pray through a particular prayer of Paul. We prayed some of that last Wednesday. But tonight, I want us to just dig a little bit deeper and ask God for that which Paul was asking on our behalf. Then when we're done with that, we're going to go to Psalm 92, and we're going to pray through Psalm 92 as best as we can. First segment then is going to be Ephesians chapter 1, beginning from verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. Paul says that he's been given thanks and praying for something. Actually, let's look at verse 16 and see the approach, because this is the approach that we must have. It says, I cease not to give thanks for you. Thanksgiving. The word of God says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Whether it's for yourself, on behalf of somebody else, or as an expression to God. The way we come is through the pathway of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is your declaration of faith that which you are going to ask, or that which you are asking, you will receive, and you're giving thanks in advance for that, and you're giving thanks that God is faithful and well able to do exceedingly far beyond that which you dare ask or think. So when we come with thanksgiving before God, we are basically saying it's a done deal. I'm getting what I came here for. Many years ago, just down this street here, must have been sometime around 92, 93, at the corner of Church and Mackenzie, I was in the basement with a group of adults teaching the Sunday school class. We're seated in a circular format, and there's a guy sitting across from me about 8 feet maybe or so away. And as I was talking, I said, "Thanks for giving me your pen." And I kept on talking, and I'll look at him and say, "Thanks for giving me your pen." And I kept on talking, and I said, "Thanks for giving me your pen." About the fifth or sixth time, the guy jumps off the seat and says, "Take the pen already." I said, "Ah, you just made the point I was trying to make. When somebody's thanking you for something that you've not given already, you feel obligated to give it." It worked. I said, "Huh." That was not what I was really teaching. It was hidden in what I was teaching. But I was striking at a point. And Paul says, I cease not. I mean, I don't stop giving thanks for you. No matter what I hear, I keep on giving thanks for you. And making mention of you. I make mention of you in my prayers. I don't stop making mention of you in my prayers. What are you making mention concerning, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Well, even if we don't know what the spirit of wisdom is, and we do know somewhat, but I'm in that place in my life in God where I know that what I think I know, I don't know enough. So I'm not going to assume what the spirit of wisdom is and start teaching you about the spirit of wisdom. But all I do know is that Paul was praying it. And when I have it, I will know it. And everybody else will know it. So we're going to pray, "God, give to me the spirit of wisdom." That includes the ability to know how to maneuver before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in getting to know him. What touches the heart of God? What causes God to respond? Because there are certain things that causes God to respond and certain things that God turns away from. On Wednesday, we talked about this power of God that's able to move us from place to place. You know, when I came here this evening, I exercised my will, I walked to my car, I started my car, and I drove. I knew where I was driving to. And when I got to the place where I was driving to, I stopped the car, opened my door, got out of the car, and walked out by will. When I'm talking about God moving us and doing certain things, I'm talking about being able to do it by will. Not it just happened by fluke. No, by will. Because if Jesus wants to show up somewhere, he shows up there. By will. I'm not ready to limit myself to my natural mindset that tells me that you cannot this and you cannot that. Because God doesn't know anything about I cannot this and I cannot that. If I'm created in his image and likeness, there is the place where I can will to do something. And I be there. That's part of the spirit of wisdom. I need that. I know I don't have it. Well, maybe I do have it, but I don't know how to connect with it. I need to know how to connect and be able to teach somebody else. This is how God does this through you. This is what you need to do. A, B, C. I need that. Especially in this last of the last days, we need it. Jesus just walked in Luke 4, walked away from the crowd that were trying to push him off a cliff, just walked right through them. And the next thing we see him in a different city. It's like from here to there. By will, by the act of the will. Powered. So let us pray. God, give me this spirit of wisdom, whatever it is, I want it. Paul was praying for it, and he says, I cease not to give God thanks for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of all that is, may give unto you. And if Paul is praying, may give it unto you, the spirit of wisdom. He had it. Paul had it. And that's why we are able to read so many scriptures written by this man of God. Paul had it. Whatever this spirit of wisdom is, Paul had it. I want it. And I know you want it. Talk to God. Oh God, the spirit of wisdom. Father, 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 the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. I receive it. Receive it. I ask for it. And I receive it. We ask for it. I will receive it. We receive it. That we may function in the grace of God that cannot be compromised by the enemy. This spirit of wisdom the devil does not have. He does not have it. He does not have the spirit of wisdom. We must have it. That we bring to naught every activity of the enemy. Rato shikalada rao shikaya. Bande barikato sokote le berekusi. Shialado wokote baladusia. Father, Father, Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grant it, Lord. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. I want it, I desire it, I cherish it, and I ask, O God, that you release it. Give it, O God, give it, O God, give it, O God, in your awesome grace. Release it, O God, let it impact my life and impact, O God, your body, even the body of Christ. In a supernatural way. Lord of God, that nothing that we do is birthed out of foolishness. But Lord of God, that all that we do is birthed out of the wisdom of God. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive the spirit of wisdom. Amen. God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And revelation. So there is not only the spirit of wisdom, there's the spirit of revelation. A spirit that makes manifest, makes plain, makes clear, brings to view. Spirit that causes enlightenment to take place. So we see what we couldn't see because it is now revealed. It's a spirit of revelation. Right before me, right this very moment, is an item I know you cannot see. Even the camera cannot see it. But if I remove whatever it is that is blocking it, you get to see it, that there was a pen right there. It's revelation. It had always been there, but you did not know it was there. To reveal is not to make something new happen, is to make known what has happened. What is, making known what is. There are so many things God has done for us that we are not aware of because it's not manifest to us, it's blocked by something. We need the spirit of revelation when nothing is hidden from us. I don't know how to tell you this, but all I can say is that the enemy is upping his scale of battle. Because I had an encounter the other day that revealed that to me. Just as much as we want to go in a stealth mode, so also the enemy wants to go into a stealth mode where whatever it is that he's doing is done in secret. And without prolonging this statement or what it was that I was battling with, in this particular setting, just like I was at home and I saw a car pull up behind my car, and these four kids come out. And they were being jovial and nice. I was talking to them, and one of them took something from its pocket, threw it on the ground, bang. Took another one, threw it on the ground, and it's like they disappeared. I knew they were there, but they disappeared. And it reminds me of a smoke screen, but something happened. And I began to fight against it. And I sent them back to whence they came. And wherever it is they came from, that car looked like some little dingy, little thing. I sent them back in there. But what concerned me was that they were able to disappear right in front of me. In other words, I did not have a revelation of where they were. I had to just spiritually force whatever it is I needed to force back to sender. They had a bad mind. They wanted to do something. We need the spirit of revelation. If you are able to see, and I'm not going to tell you what the attack was, because I know what the attack was, what the enemy wanted to accomplish. Thank God he did not accomplish it. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need the revelation, first of God, of all, in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. We need to have a revelation in the knowledge of who God is and have a revelation in him of what God knows. Those are the two aspects. And I know we've been talking about this. This is the third time now. But I need for us to pray, God, we need a revelation of you. We need a revelation to know what you know, because nothing is hidden from his view. Nothing is hidden from the view of God. There's no hiding place. And God wants us to come to that place where there is nothing hidden from our view. We need that in this last of the last days. Don't be the one who says, oh, I remember when Pastor was saying we need this. I wish I had prayed for it. No, have it now. No regrets. Amen? Paul prayed that prayer for us. Let us pray it. God, I receive the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you, God. A revelation of you and a revelation of what you see. So nothing is hidden. Pray, Father God, you would not have inspired Paul to pray without ceasing about this revelation and the knowledge of who you are, if it was not important. Lord, oh God, today we are saying, answer this prayer. Let this prayer be answered. Let this prayer be answered. Let this prayer be answered. Father God, let this prayer be answered. We are asking, O God, for a revelation in the knowledge of you, O God. A revelation in the knowledge of you. We'll receive that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father. Infuse us with this grace by the authority of your word. I receive the spirit of revelation of you, what you see. So nothing, absolutely nothing, is hidden. That we do not walk, O God, into the entrapments of the enemy, because we know. The king said, who is it that is revealing our secrets to the king of Israel? Never, no one else but a prophet. He's able to tell the king what you're doing even in your bedchamber. Father God, we cry out to you. We receive this spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, O God, that like the sons of Issachar, we are well able to say to the people of God what they ought to do, when they need to do it, how they need to do it. That there may not be any form of loss in the body. It's not by our might, nor by our power, but by your spirit, that this battle will be won. Give you praise for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, verse 18 says that when we have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that our eyes of understanding will consistently be enlightened. That is the place of willing things, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We're going to cry out to God. If it says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, it means that you have the eyes of understanding. We have that mind, that capacity that needs to be enlightened. So we're going to ask God to do that for us. God, thank you for the eyes of understanding, and thank you for consistent enlightenment. Let there not be a time that I'm in the dark because I know not what to do. I know not what to say. God, show it to me. Amen? Show it to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mom and I were in Brazil many years ago when in a community called Petropolis. And on one evening, we'd finished all the meetings and we had a day to rest. And in the evening, the pastor took us out to what used to be the King's Palace or somewhere where I guess it was a palace. And they were doing a show there, talking about the kings. They made a movie of some sort, some kind of documentary. So we went to the place and said, they're going to show us a movie. I said, okay, where's the screen? Couldn't find any screen. There's no screen anywhere. And all of a sudden, it starts showing the movie. And the movie is, you can see it right in empty space like this. I don't know what kind of technology that is. And there was nobody for me to ask. But you could see it, just like you can see my hand moving there, right there. You're watching a movie. I don't know what they did, whether they put some kind of mist in that particular space and where the image was being caught by the mist that you've seen, or I don't know what they're doing. But this is the idea. I make that comment to make this comment. That it is very possible when your eyes of understanding have been enlightened, like he did so many years ago. But in my case, it was a blackboard. God writing on the blackboard, and I came to my uncle and I said, I saw the number 3, I'm going to be 3rd in the class. Ah! I know I'm cutting a long story short there. But God is able to open things for us to see. See it clearly. You can describe what you're seeing. It's called open vision. To be able to see at will. At will. I want to see What's going on in such and such a place? Well, if we can have live images shot on our television screens, on online, whatever, you can see it on some device. You have the device called understanding. It's a spiritual device that will cause us to see things very clearly. See past, present, future. And be able to speak clearly on what is going on and how it's going on. I know this seems to be very, very much. But somebody has to walk in that dimension in a consistent manner. Why not me? Why not you? We need it. So let us cry out to God right now. Say, God, I want the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened consistently so that I see what I need to see and I know what I need to know for your glory and your honor. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, you're the God who has given to us the eyes of understanding, and every satanic agenda is brought to naught immediately. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. You are rebuked. Your power is brought to naught, and the exalted Lord has made it possible for me and the household of God to walk in a dimension of understanding that you cannot contend with. You cannot contend with this. All of your attacks reveal the necessity of that which we ask our Father for. And we ask it in that name that is above every other name. We say no to you and all of your ways. And we thank God, the Most High God, the all-knowing God, the all-capable God, for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, in the knowledge of God, that our eyes of understanding may be now enlightened. I declare, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that I am enlightened consistently because the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and the eyes of my understanding are activated. Thank you, Father, for the eyes of understanding. Thank you for consistently enlightening the eyes of the understanding of my mind. I have the mind of Christ. 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 Let this mind of Christ in me be activated now. We declare, O God, an activation. 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 Let there be the activation, O God, of the eyes of understanding. Activated now. Activated now. Be enlightened now. Be consistently enlightened. In the mighty name of Jesus, every information, all data necessary, needed for whatever it is that we need to accomplish. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace to tap into it and to retrieve that knowledge. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's look at Psalm 92 real quickly. Psalm 92. We're going to deal with them in blocks. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. God's word says here that it's a good thing to give thanks. And how we started tonight in our prayer segment was to give God thanks, to consistently give God thanks for what we are believing Him for. We believed and we received by faith with thanksgiving the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and the knowledge of who God is. And we received that enlightenment. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. And God says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. He is the Most High God and therefore sees better than anyone else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. It's a good thing to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. You know what? There is always morning, no matter where we are. It's morning somewhere, right? This very moment. And so, our declaration of God showing forth his loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It is night somewhere, right? This very moment. God, show forth your loving kindness and your faithfulness every night. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord because it shows forth his loving kindness and his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, I'm going to demonstrate my expressions of thanksgiving upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. And I will triumph in the works of thy hands. It is a good thing to thank God that we are glad through his works and triumphant through the works of his hands. Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And part of what we've been praying about tonight when we're talking about spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation of who God is and our eyes of understanding, you know, that part of the eyes of our understanding has to do with your mind, because you can see with your mind. You can see things with your mind, right? If I say to you, can you see your living room right now? You see it. Praise the Lord. It's right there. You can see it. Well, that's happening through the thought realm. But he says, thy thoughts are very deep. It goes beyond that. Sees deeper. So we're going to thank God here for all that he's doing, the mighty works that he's wrought in us, with us, by us, through us, the mighty works that he has established in all the earth. Amen? Let's begin to give our thanks for his mighty works. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We celebrate you with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord God, for your mighty works. Your mighty works, your mighty works, your mighty works in us and with us, by us and through us. Your mighty works in all the earth. Lord God, the mighty works of God. Rata Shekerebrasa. We thank you, Lord God, that they are explosive. Oh, blessed be the name of the Most High God. Lord God, we sing and we shout and we praise you. We play instruments, oh God. Oh, Father God, to just declare, oh God, the awesomeness of who you are. You are wonderful. You are mighty. Lord, oh God, you are doing it. Lord, oh God, you are doing it. Father, you are doing it. Oh, Most High, you are doing it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that our lives, oh God, are like strings, oh God, before you. Father, oh God, we give you praise, oh God, that the sounds, oh God, that are coming out of our lives are sounds, oh God, that are glorifying to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we receive all that you have for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, every instrument there is silent until it is played. There's a guitar there, it has strings, but it doesn't play itself. Drums, keyboard, saxophone, trumpet, whatever. If somebody came from somewhere and doesn't know what those things are, they will not know that those things make any sounds. So it is about us being part of the works of God. Praise God. But as God plays us, we produce sounds. Glory be to God. I want God to play me so that I can produce sounds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glorious God. God will touch and we begin to prophesy. We see visions. We dream dreams. Stretch forth our hands and miracles happen. We affect weathers, the systems, whatever it is, we are affecting it. Ordinary people played by God as an instrument. Rasha katabokosi. Let us pray, oh God, play me as an instrument that your name may be glorified. Let me be an instrument in your skilled hands. Oh, Father, pray. God, play me as an instrument. Play me with your skilled hands. Make me make sounds. Oh, God, that terrorize the forces of darkness, but cause your people to celebrate. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that I'm an instrument of praise. I'm an instrument of worship. I'm an instrument of God that declares of your prophetic declarations. I'm an instrument played through your skillful hands. Lord, oh God, you're making me sound. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, not making noise, not noise, not noise, sound. Kribalo to sempre nekaya. Thank you, Father, that it is so, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God, play me as an instrument. Make me make sounds that terrify the forces of darkness. Thank you, Lord, that I'm an instrument of praise unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God says the things of the Spirit are spiritual discern that, you know, it's not for everybody. In Psalm 92 and verse 6, the word of God says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither do the fool understand this. We are not that, but brutish men given to sinful ways. Foolish men do not know what we're talking about. Praying the things that we're praying today, and brutish minds. What are those guys praying? What good is that going to do? That's a brutish mind. They don't understand. Clueless. But this is what happens. All of this is happening to bring about certain things. In verse 7, it says, when the wicked spring as the grass, and we've seen the wicked spring as grass. And when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, and we've seen it happening, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you know the hope of your calling. The hope of your calling is not for destruction. It's from recognizing that it's the wicked that perish. They spring up as grass. They flourish so that they can be destroyed forever. In other words, God makes them manifest, shows them up so that you see them cut off. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. In other words, when they're growing and they're flourishing and it seems like they're about to choke the things of God and destroy the things of God, God is having the last laugh because he is forever. He is forever. They are all going to be wiped out. He says, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. They are your enemies. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Praise God. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I said to us, quite a few times now. The first time I said it in this last stretch of times was maybe sometime around March or April of last year. I've said it many times before that, but I've been saying it a little bit more consistently recently, that the finest hour of the church is now. These are our greatest days. In the midst of the flourishing of wickedness all over. If you look in with your natural eyes, you'll be very afraid. But if you're seeing with the eyes of God and knowing the things of God, it will be a different world. Can you imagine somebody's coming to arrest you or whatever, and you turn to this cop and you say, your wife's name is Rachel. Yeah. And you have a son and you have a daughter, and this is what is happening. And by the way, if you don't deal with this, that is going to happen. And you can say, huh? Yeah. How do you know those things? Come on. Want me to tell you more things about you? Before they know it, they say, we better not fool with this guy. Why? You have been anointed with fresh oil. Amen? While the enemy's been, they think they are flourishing, they are really being cut off because God is anointing you with fresh oil. We're going to say, God, reveal yourself in a mighty way to bring judgment on the powers of darkness. And Lord, oh God, pour fresh oil on my life that I may flourish in every spot. Amen? He who laughs last, best, they say. We're going to have the last laugh. Pray. Rise up and pray. Just thank God right now that He is a revelation of greatness. Thank you, Lord, O God, that the powers of darkness are consumed away by the authority of your word. Lord, O God, they've sprung up like grass, but it is to their destruction. But Lord, O God, your oil of anointing, the oil, O God, of anointing has been poured, fresh oil in my life, fresh oil on your church. Lord, O God, these are our greatest days. Lord, O God, that will move, O God, in the power of your spirit. Lord, O God, moving, O God, with the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of who you are and who and what you are showing. Father, O God, that the powers of darkness, O God, are terrorized. For Lord, O God, it's not by our might, nor by our power, but by your spirit. Lord, O God, that which overwhelms the forces of darkness will receive by the authority of the word of your faith. Most high God, you are the most high God. You are the most high God. You are the most high God. Besides you, there is none other. Father, we give you praise. You have done it. You have done it. And greatness is established in us, in our eyes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Verse 11, since mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Notice this statement. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked. Mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. What is it that God is saying? Mine eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked. Hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. In other words, God is saying, it doesn't matter which way it goes. You're going to see and you're going to hear, but both according to your desire. Amen? So the prayer we're going to pray is that God will grant to us the right desire so that we do not limit the destruction on the enemy. Amen? Give me your desire, what you know needs to be the fullness of what needs to happen so that there is no escape for the enemy. You know, the prophet of God took the king to a window and says, get those arrows and strike it. Man struck it one, I think two or three times. And the prophet got upset with him. You should have struck more times than that. Now you can only defeat the enemy that many times. No, I don't. I want to see the enemy wiped out. So I need to know and have the eyes of God to see what needs to happen. Hear God's heart concerning what needs to happen and be in total agreement with God, so that not one enemy is left. Praise God, we serve. Rise and pray. Lord, O God, our desire, O God, is to receive your desire so that not one enemy is left standing. Not one enemy is left standing. Every power, every presence, every authority that's operational, that is not of you, that is hindering your divine purpose and will for your children, must be destroyed. And so, Lord God, we receive your heart's desire, and we make your desire our desires. We see with your eyes and make what you see what we see. We see and hear what you're saying and what the wicked are doing. So, Lord of God, that everything is matched accordingly. So, Father, this day in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare judgment on all the powers of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for your desires implanted within us. Not one enemy will be left standing. Not one. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever form they come in, they must be eradicated by the authority of your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. First of all, it talks about the wicked, you know, sprouting, springing up like grass, flourishing. But when it talks about the righteous, it says that the righteous flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. We are not in the grass level. Grow high and tall. Representatives of the living God. Then it says that those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. In other words, they shall be prosperous and flourishing. God keeps on using the word flourishing, talking about fruitfulness. It doesn't matter what age you are, flourishing. We're going to pray, God, let it be unto us according to thy word. Let us blossom, let us flourish, no matter what age we are, as we are planted in your house. One of the things the enemy wants to do is to make sure that we are not planted in the house of God. I was on a Zoom meeting recently, and one of the participants was saying, you know, that actually I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, and said, most of our members are not back, even when the doors were open. We didn't even get the percentage. And it's supposed to be a mega church. People are not giving. They are not doing what they're supposed to do. Because one of the things the enemy wants to do is to make sure that we are not planted in the house of God, so we can flourish in his courts. If the enemy can shut you down so that you are not planted, rooted, and grounded in his love, then you're not going to flourish. And what the enemy wants to do is to frustrate people. And you've heard me say it before, if we squeeze you, if we squeeze you like a toothpaste tube, what is going to come out when you get squeezed? Some people, nothing comes out because they're totally empty. If there's a time that you need to be vigorous and radical in your walk of faith, radical in expressing your faith, radical in making it known that you are not a nonsense tolerating individual when it comes to the things of God, if there were a time such as that, it is now. Your giving should be better. Everything about you should be better now than before the crisis that has come against the people of our world. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They shall flourish. The righteous flourish, verse 12 says. Hallelujah. Verse 12, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I went to pick up my grandkids, the two youngest ones, this evening, and they were in the back seat, in their seat, car seat, and one says about the sister, says, she's not a baby anymore. She's grown up. How is she growing up like that? I said, what? What kind of a discussion are we having here? So I'm thinking, maybe the sister is getting so much attention and he wants to be the baby. So I say to her, I say, so are you the baby now? She says, no, I'm a big boy and she's a big girl. Well, that's growing up. How is she doing this? He's not thinking about himself that he's growing, but he remembers seeing the baby sister, and now she's talking and she's doing all this stuff. He said, she's growing up. She's no longer a baby. She's talking. What's going on here? Well, surprise, surprise. That's how we're growing. Like cedars in Lebanon. What were cedars in Lebanon used for? They were part of the structure in building the temple. And part of how God is building his church, his glorious church. Hallelujah. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, shall grow like cedar in Lebanon. And then it says, they shall still bring forth fruit. When other people have stopped, they're still bringing forth fruit in old age. You know, Abraham kept on having children way after. When the guy who is the perfect late bloomer, he started having all kinds of kids. Man. Well, flourishing in old age. They shall be fat. And then it says again, and flourishing. In other words, God, isn't that incredible what God is saying? Flourishing, 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 flourishing. That's God's theme statement. In other words, prosperous, 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 prosperous. We're going to declare, God, I thank you that I'm prosperous. I am flourishing. I am planted in your house, flourishing in your courts. Everywhere I go, I am flourishing. There is no end date to the blessing upon my life. Pray, pray, rise and pray. Thank you, Lord, oh God. There's no end date to my flourishing. I'm flourishing in every area, flourishing in health, flourishing in wealth, flourishing, oh God, the presence of mind, sharp in my mind, sharp in my vision, sharp, oh God, in everything, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, flourishing, 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 because I'm planted in the house of the Lord. I'm flourishing in your courts. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, flourishing, oh God, like the palm tree. Flourishing, oh God, like the cedar of Lebanon. Flourishing, flourishing, flourishing. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that it is so. It is so. Thank you, Lord, that I'm prosperous and flourishing in your house. Thank you, Lord. No end date, no end date, no time of expiration. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, keep on increasing, keep on multiplying, keep on growing, keep on, oh God. Oh Father, thank you, Lord, oh God, for the grace of keeping on and being at the cutting edge at all times. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, verse 15, all of the flourishing, all of the blessings is to do just some very simple things to show forth that the Lord is upright. I'm flourishing to show forth that the Lord is upright. He's a good God. He's faithful. He's a just God. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. No unrighteousness in him. God is upright. Because there's no unrighteousness in him, I am blessed. Notice this thing. To show that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In other words, the reason for the manifestation of the flourishing is not me, it is him. Isn't that amazing? It's him. All him. All him. All him. Praise God. That's why we need to seek first the Lord, and all of his righteousness and every other thing gets added to us. Because our focus is onto the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. So let us declare, God, upright God, God in whom there is no unrighteousness, prosper me. Hallelujah. Prosper me. Cause me to flourish because of who you are. Because of who you are. Was that song we used to sing? Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, let my life flourish. Let my life blossom. Let my life be prosperous. Just to show forth that you are faithful, upright, righteous God. Hallelujah. Pray. Thank you, Lord. We acknowledge that you are the upright God, that there is no unrighteousness in you. And because of who you are revealing your magnificence in me and through me, Lord of God, to show forth that you are a good God. Lord of God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Oh God, I thank you. There's no unrighteousness in you. And because there's no unrighteousness in you, Lord of God, I am prosperous and I'm flourishing because of who you are. Let my life blossom. Let it prosper. Let my life be a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. 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 In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight to pray. May the goodness of God be revealed in each life. And may we truly flourish, blossom, and prosper. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our offering as our expressions of praise, worship, and adoration to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give unto him, for he deserves all the worship, praise, and adoration. Honor God. I want to encourage those that are watching online to especially do so right this very moment. It is so easy to neglect your time of giving and say, I'll do it later. Let me go take care of this. Let me go take care of that. And then you forget to do what God has commissioned you to do. So please do that right now. I see that most of your names are missing in the given roster, so to speak. And don't do that. Don't forget God and His plans and purposes. As a church and as a leadership, our trust is in the Lord. We did not go to the government stretching our hands to ask them for anything, because we have our faith in God. Our trust is in Him. And we know that God works through His people, through His sons and daughters. You are His hands and His feet. So, obey God's calling in your giving also. Amen. May the hand of God rest upon you, and I look forward to seeing you Sunday morning and Sunday evening for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. The gospel is yet being preached all around the world. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And good night. God bless you. Let me just have a quick chat with those on Zoom.